The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Wednesday edition. Dom, that didn't have the same smoothness I normally do, but welcome anyways, buddy. How you doing?
When I think smooth, I think fruity. Hey, man, good to see you. Rich on the board. Our audience, join us anytime in the political party, 844-967-2789.
Dom, it's not just what I say. It's like an emotion. It's a gesticulation. Yeah. It's an entire movement. We are leading a movement here, Dom. That's what we're doing.
Is that what it is?
Or perhaps there is a complete lack of leadership whatsoever.
Totally. No leadership. We're lacking leadership everywhere we turn.
Now, you shared this fine article with me, our favorite, I'm going to put it down as my favorite source, aggregator, The Raw Story. But when you see a headline like complete lack of leadership, and I look at the accompanying photo, why, it's U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, I think, right on target.
I mean, wait a minute. That seems logical. Let's read more.
GOP lawmakers pushed into votes question the party's strategy.
Oh, yes, the Republican Party is in disarray.
Dominic, some Republicans questioned their own leadership Wednesday over GOP's response, or lack thereof, to Democrats' efforts to bring forth a slew of difficult and largely symbolic votes. Republicans have said they feel recent votes involving the border and reproductive rights were mainly partisan efforts. Now, Chuck Schumer says, we gave Republicans a second chance to show where they stand. Well, you know, they stand in the coward column most of the time, Dom. That's what he said last month following a vote on legislation that aimed to clamp down on the number of migrants who can claim asylum on the Mexico border. Do they want to fix this so-called emergency, or do they want to show blind allegiance to the former president, now felon, even when they know he's wrong, question mark. Now, Dom, Senate Democrats were also holding a vote Wednesday to move forward a bill that would protect women's access to contraception. Slow down.
Oh, my goodness. This is crazy. It's like it's 1950.
And they plan to vote as soon as next week on ensuring access to in vitro fertilization. Neither are expected to pass.
Well,
because of Republican opposition, right?
Specifically today, and we'll stay on this, but here's the headline over at ABC News. The Senate Wednesday failed to advance legislation that would codify the right to access contraception nationwide, as Democrats look to put reproductive care at the center of their messaging agenda. So that one failed. But the lack of leadership, Crudy, go on, please.
It's no secret the votes come during a hotly contested election year, and the strategy to get Republicans on record on issues led to some questioning the party's counter-strategy, Axios reported Wednesday. Here is a statement from Senator Tom Tillis, Republican from North Carolina. In my ideal world, we'd have 49 members voting on a motion to proceed, and then we would put forth a lot of amendments to address the extreme positions of the Democrats.
Yeah, extreme positions, like getting access to contraceptive.
Now, Dom, the perceived lack of strategy seemed to irk U.S. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, also a Republican, who said he supports Tillis' idea and rebuked what he called a complete lack of leadership over the party's response to Democratic voting strategies. A half-hour conversation organized the day before a vote like this is grossly inadequate, and I'm getting tired of it, says Rojo. He's getting tired of it, Dom.
Oh, well, maybe you shouldn't follow an orange convicted felon, because here's the strategy. Whatever Trump says, that's your strategy. And if Trump doesn't provide you any guidance on whatever particular issue you are concerned about, well, I guess you're just in the wind, right? They're lacking the leadership from the orange convicted felon. That's their strategy. If Trump doesn't have a say on it, what do we do? What do we do? What would Trump do? They got the little what? Little rubber bands around the wrist, WWTD. What would Trump do? Crudy, on that issue, again, ABC News, the Right to Contraception Act fell short of the 60 votes needed to move forward. The final vote, 51-39 in the Senate. All but two Republicans present voted against the measure. The Republicans who crossed party lines were Senators Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. The bill was put forward by a group of Senate Democrats in the aftermath of the 2022 Supreme Court decision that overturned the constitutional right to an abortion, would protect a person's right to access contraceptives and a doctor's right to provide information to access them. Or as Tillis or perhaps Ron Johnson would say, extreme positions. Here's what Chuck Schumer said. This is a simple bill and a simple vote. If you believe all women deserve to have contraception, then you should vote for this bill. That's all there is to it. Now, Republicans dismissed the legislation as a political ploy by Democrats and opposed what they saw as overly broad language that could be interpreted to include some abortion-related medications. Quote, John Cornyn, it's not a serious attempt to legislate. This is just a show vote in anticipation of the election. Democrats think they can win this case, the election based on reproductive rights, and somehow they're suggesting that contraception is in jeopardy, which is just blatantly false. Now, I would challenge
that.
There was
a case before the U.S. Supreme Court on mifepristone, whether or not it was legal to mail it through the mail, Dom. Of course it's in question. And their positions on these issues, Dom, are a big part of the reason why, even though it electorally, it is the Democratic Party on defense in the U.S. Senate this year, and we have such a narrow one-vote margin, right? And Manchin's turning independent, not running for re-election. Crazy stuff happening. Sinema, she's out. So it seems like a very difficult map until you start framing the Republicans with their actual positions, and then they're the ones that want to run and hide. Oh, that's overly broad, characterizing us with our actual positions. We don't like that. And you know what? The American people don't really like these positions either, Dom.
Rudy, it's a ruse, because here's the point. If there was some issues, some overly broad language that could be interpreted to include some abortion-related medications, but the Republicans felt generally that, yes, women have a right to contraception, they could have, you know, forward the bill, put some amendments to it, and see what happens. But they declined to even do that. I find their position weak and their excuses not logical. It is clear Democrats are looking to put the squeeze on Republicans, yes, on reproductive rights ahead of the 24 election after winning big on the issue of the last election cycle. Wednesday's vote was the first of a number of votes on reproductive rights related legislation Schumer has promised in the coming weeks. Already, he's teed up the chamber to take a vote next week on a bill aimed at protecting access to IVF in the aftermath of an Alabama Supreme Court ruling that threw access to the procedure into jeopardy. That will also almost certainly fail at the hands of Republicans. 22 Senate Republicans said Democrats were trying to stir up commotion after a non-existent threat in the joint statement on Tuesday. Quote, there is no threat to access to contraception which is legal in every state and required by law to be offered at no cost to health insurers. And it's disgusting that Democrats are fear-mongering on this important issue to score cheap political points. The right to access birth control was enshrined in a 1965 Supreme Court ruling, but proponents of the Right to Contraception Act say that if the Supreme Court could overturn Roe v. Wade, which granted the protections for abortion, it could also act to overturn access to birth control. So, yeah, we see how the Supreme Court has been ruling. This is obviously a concern for many, many Democrats and many, many women. And even though perhaps maybe you even think some of these should be allowed, you can't bring yourself to what? Govern?
Well, Dom, here's how The Guardian, the foreign press, is reporting it. Senate Republicans blocked a bill that would have recognized contraception on Wednesday, weeks after Donald Trump made and quickly walked back comments indicating he would be willing to restrict the Donald Trump said it and then walked it back quickly. But not at the same interview, if I recall, Dom. As expected, the Right to Contraception Act fell short of garnering 60 votes the Senate Democrats needed to advance the bill. Before the vote, Democrats, in effect, acknowledged that they were daring Republicans to go on the record opposing the right to something that almost all American women use at some point in their lifetime. Brian Schatz, a Democrat from Hawaii, said, "In 2 hours, we get to know what you think about contraception. We get to know whether you actually want to enshrine this right in federal statute or you don't. That is the beauty of this place and the beauty of this bill. At this time, everyone will go on the record." Now, Republicans argued the legislation was unnecessary because they say contraceptions are not at political risk. In a Senate speech Wednesday, Republican Iowa Senator Joni Ernst accused Democrats of fear-mongering in the name of politics. Now, several Republican senators, including Lindsey Graham, a new declare of South Carolina, and Katie Britt, you remember her response to the State of the Union, Dom. J.D. Vance of Ohio, Mitt Romney of Utah did not vote. And Republican Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, who had previously broken with their party to support abortion rights, voted in favor of the Right to Contraception Act. Well, that's good news. You know what's bad news, Dom?
What's that, Mike?
If you are convicted of a felony, you lose some rights, too. And we're going to find out what rights the former president, convicted felon 34 times over, Donald Trump's losing some rights. It's not just women. It's also the former president. Is that a silver lining? I don't think so. Come back. You know, the fact that we are the greatest radio show ever, that is all the silver lining you need. You can be a part, 844-967-2789. Lots of breaking news. We'll get to it. Come on back.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We're going to get to the lines. Be patient. Rich will get you on at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, New York's police department is preparing to revoke Donald Trump's license to carry a gun after his felony conviction in New York. Oh, that's got a sting. He's the NRA's favorite. The New York City Police Department is preparing to revoke former President Donald Trump, I prefer to call him 34-time convicted felon, Donald Trump's license to carry a gun, a senior police official told CNN. Trump's New York concealed carry license was quietly suspended, I didn't know that, on April Fool's Day 2023 following his indictment on criminal charges in New York. So he's been under suspension for a while, Dom. Two of the three pistols he was licensed to carry were turned over to the NYPD on March 31st, 2023, and a third gun listed on Trump's license was lawfully moved to Florida. You can just move your guns when you're a felon. After Trump was convicted of 34 felonies on May 30th, 2024, should circle that one on the calendar each year, Dom, he could be in violation of multiple state and federal laws if he still possesses that third gun in Florida. CNN has reached out to representatives of Trump to determine whether he still has a gun in Florida. Well, that seems like Hunter Biden kind of behavior, doesn't it? Someone's going to trial for something very similar here.
Well,
now,
we
possession
should have
of a firearm.
Donald Trump should be drug tested. It's clear.
I think Donald Trump, I mean, wouldn't that be part of the probationary process? Won't he have an intake interview? Won't he have a drug test? Aren't they going to ask him about his drug usage? I know I had to go through that kind of stuff, Tom. I had to go through an AODA assessment at my own expense. I think Trump should have to do the same. Dom, the
was
NYPD
that a pass or a fail
legal
for you, Curdy?
I passed through duplicity with flying colors. Apparently, the rookie AODA assessor believed me. That was her biggest mistake. It wasn't a complete and honest confession, Dom. I'll just put it to you that way.
Okay.
I pointed out that I had used marijuana in conjunction with Sudafed once in high school, and I didn't like the reaction, so I was scared off of both drugs.
Scared straight?
By Sudafed. The NYPD's legal bureau will complete its investigation. That will likely lead to a revocation of his license, the senior police official said. Trump could seek a hearing challenging the revocation. Oh, all the way to the Supreme Court. I need guns. I want guns. Now, Trump has had a license from the NYPD to carry a concealed firearm for more than a decade, according to multiple law enforcement sources. But because Trump's application came with a request for confidentiality, they are exempt from public records requests, according to the NYPD guidelines and New York state law. The suspension and pending revocation of his carry license suggests that Trump maintained his license the entire time of his presidency and after. Was he packing in the Oval Office?
That's a great question. Inquiring minds want to know.
Until he was charged with multiple felonies for falsifying the business records. Again, that's the New York case. Filed indictments in March of 23. As a former president, Trump has a full-time U.S. Secret Service protection. Although I have seen some legislative proposals that would strip that from him now that he's a convicted felon former president.
844-967-2789. Thank you, callers, for being patient. Let's get to them. Jack from the Mac, you are up. Welcome. Happy hump day, Jack. What do you got?
Hey, Jack.
Just the hypocrisy of the Republicans again. Oh, we don't need legislation to guarantee contraception because that's already been decided by the Supreme Court. I seem to have remembered hearing something like that from Kavanaugh and Gorsuch and a couple of other Supreme Court justices over the last few years, but not about contraception. That was just about a woman's right to make her own medical decisions. And they certainly took that away fast enough. Oh, yeah, that's definitely that's enshrined in precedent. Yeah,
that's decided law, right, Jack? It was decided law.
Yep, that's right. And this Supreme Court will overturn anything. It's an oligarchy of six. They'll overturn anything they darn well please. That's one of the most dangerous parts of this country we now have.
Thank you for the call and the observation and comments, Jack. Always appreciate it. You can join us 844-967-2789. Let's squeeze in Mark from the SAC. Welcome, Mark. What are your thoughts?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, the it seems that the it just kind of lost in this whole thing is
Mark.
We lose
it out,
you,
man.
Mark.
Yeah,
where are you at, Mark?
What's lost in this?
Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, the whole thing is coming apart for these Republicans now. They're supporting guys that criminally participated in fraud against the United States of America, and they continue to do so. I mean, Ron Johnson and this, you know, he's whining more each and every day, and one has to hope that the noose is going to be tightening around him and drag him off stage in some kind of you know, Stagehawk comes and grabs him, drags him off stage like the old cartoons, that Ron Johnson becomes irrelevant to the American body politic.
Well, we can certainly hope on that, Mark, but, you know what hope and change gets us. Nice to see some prosecutions. I mean, if there is activity that is fraudulent, certainly it seems to be the case, a conspiracy to overthrow the government, and the U.S. senator from Wisconsin was all in on it. Okay. How about an investigation? Let's get some facts. Let's find out. Let's get some folks under oath and find out what the hell is happening. Maybe Cheesebro rolls, but maybe Cheesebro already burnt the bridges. So we'll have to wait and see. Josh Call afternoon yesterday. A lot more work to do, Josh. We are the Devil's Advocates, 844-967-2789. Go ahead, Curdy.
Mike from Vitalac on the text line just left a voicemail for AG Call, letting him know that we appreciate nobody is above the law. Why are Republicans quiet on the indictments of these clowns? Well, Ron Johnson called it a travesty.
Outrageous.
Come back. Devil's Advocates, always an outrageous travesty.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dom, this one takes me way back.
Yeah,
1980-ish, right? Don't bring me down, Bruce. And it's interesting. I want to tell you a story. I went to fourth grade in Madison, Wisconsin, Hegel School, the round school. And it was like two circles. It was a gymnasium that was round. And it was like the main school, which had a library in the middle of it. You could cut through the library to get to all your classes. And it's been a long time, Dom. Fourth grade some years ago for me. But if I recall correctly, they used to like set up the lunch tables in the gymnasium. And I feel like we'd go in there for the lunch. And the janitor would occasionally spin the tunes. Like last Friday of the month or something, he would spin the tunes. And the janitor's name, to the best of my recollection, was Bruce. And he would play ELO, Don't Bring Me Down, Bruce. Every Friday that we had these little disco-a-thons, and the best days of all at the school, Don, not the disco days, the pizza days, when they serve the pizza.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And there's a little article here, Dom, and this one's caught my attention because I think you know a little something about this yourself. What children know that Donald Trump doesn't. Lessons from the lunchroom could help the former president, understand that sooner or later, outlaw glamour wears off. Nobody told Dom. A jury of my peers agrees that pizza served in the 1980s grade school was better than any other. When I made my case, Exhibit A was a shared photo of those cheesy rectangular pizzas fresh from an industrial oven. My hometown classmates lit up at the memory. Pizza Day fueled an underground economy. Lunchroom hustlers charged sugar cookies, ice cream, or chocolate milk in exchange for their slices. Now, Dom, you may know I don't like to drink milk, so I would trade my chocolate milk. I'd get at least a half a piece. But if you're a real wheeler dealer, man, you could get a whole nother piece of pizza, preferably the sausage. Or, Dom, they might cut a deal. And this is, I know who you were. They might cut a deal for candy and gum with the other child entrepreneurs sold between classes. In this heyday, the school's halls featured a bustling economy and the world's best pizza. What do you know about
the good old days?
Selling gum and candy to your classmates. Have you not?
This is really funny. Yes, I was at Hortonville High School in Hortonville, Wisconsin, when I was, I believe I was in fifth grade, and I would skip class, and I don't know how that happens, but yeah, I'd skip class
in fifth grade.
And walk down to the local candy shop. You know, it was a little candy. I'd go get some taffy and whatever sugar treats I could get my hands on. and I'd come back and I'd sell them for like double the price. So if I paid 25 cents for something, I'd charge them 50 cents. If I paid 50 cents, I'd charge them.
So your margin's 100%?
100%. My margins were 100%. Absolutely. And
then your labor costs are so outrageous. But please continue.
To the fourth graders class, and you got to remember, number one, I'm taking the risk. Obviously, you're not supposed to skip school when you're in fifth grade, 10 years old.
No,
I'm taking the risk, really. Not only am I taking the risk and going out on my own and, fronting with my own funds, my entrepreneurial spirit, I also would deliver to the classroom when I got back. So I did pretty well, man. I wasn't all greedy. Didn't put it all in my pocket. We got a shake machine at some point when I was in school, and those
the shake machine at Hortonville School.
I had to pay a quarter. You get chocolate. I remember chocolate. I'm assuming we had vanilla as well, but I was a big chocolate fan. And those cost 25 cents. And after a rough day's work, and I wanted to, after playing some basketball in the middle period, I wanted to share with my friends. I treated all my friends at the table the chocolate shakes on my dime. I paid for it all, given back to the community, and the nice lunch lady put them all in a tray and walked them over like a rock star. It was fantastic.
Service from the cafeteria lady.
Oh man, that was glorious. And so I got the entrepreneurial.
Were they like grasshoppers? These shakes,
those little styrofoam cups. You remember those things, man? Those are great for the environment. But yeah, those probably 12 ounce. I don't know. But it was a glorious time. Made a little bit of money. Got out of school, skipped around. Took some risks and made some money.
Took some risks and made some money. Seems like you expanded upon that theory later in life. Now, my earliest entrepreneurial experience, and as you know, I've been something of a serial entrepreneur in my life, but it all started with illegal fireworks at a campground. I would buy bricks of firecrackers, and I would sell them to the other kids.
Buy
like the whole brick for like $5. And it would be like 100 packs. So my margins were better than 100%. Rolling those. But of course.
Well, of course, you're an arms dealer. I was just providing some sugar, man.
As far as I know, no one blew off any fingers. But, there was always some promotional expense. You had to set off some firecrackers to draw a crowd to bring the attention to you.
Right.
I'd have to burn some packs. Like, I got packs to burn. What about you? What are you doing on the fourth? And I did okay, but I had a limited arms supply, limited run. Let's get back to this article. It seems like we've digressed a little. Dom, New York would have been proud. The Big Apple was an inspiration for our school's bustling brokers. For Gen X kids in the American South, the city's flashy lifestyle embodied success, from its Playboy millionaires and Trump Tower to the hip-hop stars from the outer boroughs, turning their music into a multi-billion dollar industry. Its icons swaggered like invincible, seeming to get away with it all, which made an impression on these schoolyard moguls like Dom, whose business was literally under the table.
I did not report my fifth grade earnings, for the record.
I don't think there is any statute of limitations on tax crimes, Dom. Donald Trump's best-selling book, The Day of the Art of the Deal, puts a finger on the bad boy glamour. Trump once upon a time said, "Bad publicity is better than no publicity at all." The ghost written maxim went, "Controversy, in short, sells." That's certainly how things worked at school. Whenever a student was reprimanded for trading pizza, everyone knew whom to ask next time.
Wait a minute, why would you be reprimanded for trading pizza? What is the crime in trading pizza?
I'm not clear, Dom.
All right, all right.
I was never reprimanded for trading pizza. M80s in middle school sometimes, but never pizza. Everyone knew whom to ask the next time. And as the author writes, I learned my preferred candy guy trafficked in atomic fireballs only when he got busted at school for selling them. I was soon in trouble for buying them, caught red-handed, my fingertips and tongue stained scarlet by the food coloring. That's what you used to do to the kids, right, Dom? And it appears to work in politics, too, at least for Trump. He won the 2016 presidential election after saying and doing things that are usually fatal to one's political career, such as disparaging prisoners of war and boasting on tape about groping women. Even after minor things, he once ate chain restaurant pizza with a knife and fork in Times Square and on camera. That's worse than mixing peanut butter and jelly, Dom. An unpardonable offense in New York. And he was the talk of the town. Controversy not only sold, it elected. But there should be a line. Chaos results when norms and rules no longer matter. Kids carrying backpacks full of candy and pockets full of money invite mischief, just as Dom. Shady business practices led to conflicts and corruption. Some things should be disqualifying and not of the eyes of the law, than the choices of consumers and voters. You got any of this, Dom, or am I doing all
I do, yeah. For a jury of Trump's peers last week, he crossed that line. But will getting caught and punished simply improve his political fortunes, question mark? Dom's answer, no. Or will he get away with it, becoming president again, question mark? Dom's answer, no. Trump paid no political penalty for the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol, despite being impeached for a second time. A third of Republicans in one survey said the felony convictions make them more likely to vote for him. Guilt made no difference to another 56%. He's scheduled to be sentenced in July, and days later, he's expected to be nominated for a third time at the top of the GOP ticket. Here in Milwaukee, by the way, Curdy, not only has
the city
proved beneficial for him, Trump has made a global market in the art of getting caught. Go ahead, Curdy.
I was just going to say, brand new reporting from the Journal Sentinel, Donald Trump is still expected to come and accept the nomination at the RNC MKE 2024, although the statement said they are putting contingency plans into place. Plan B is Trump's in prison, but please continue.
We'll have something to say about that. Continuing on from the Washington Post, voters will soon have their say. Toxic partisan politics is making a nation complicit in the illicit, willing to excuse all kinds of bad behavior just so one's preferred candidate wins the election. Trump's easy victories in the primaries and his lead in some respected polls together suggest that many voters, and thus potentially our system of government, are okay with a twice impeached former president freshly convicted of felonies returning to the White House. My classmates and I enjoyed recalling the lunchtime trades that landed us more of the world's best pizza, and how friendships with the cafeteria staff sometimes earned an extra helping on the house. Oh, doesn't it, though? We admire those
Hey,
among...
Lunch Lady Doris! Extra scoop for me, please.
We admire those among us with good business sense and extra money for candy. But the consensus held that bragging about one's success was bad form and bad karma, Curdy, and gloating about being untouchable was a bad omen. It was one thing to be a good deal maker. It was quite another to make a sucker of someone. Penny-pinching adolescents recognize such distinctions, and a jury of New Yorkers did too. In 2016, Trump famously said, "I could stand in the middle of Fifth Street and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters." He has proved that he could exploit the birtherism conspiracy that the first black president was born in Kenya to become commander-in-chief. That, he could suggest, disinfectant and ultraviolet light might stanch a pandemic and pay no penalty. That he could get caught red-handed, evidence of shady business dealings on his fingertips, and still become the Republican Party nearly decade-long standard bearer. Trump and the big city remain a world away from my school in the South. To us as kids, the rich and famous who seemed to have it all and got away with it were appealing characters. But now we're grown up with a deeper appreciation for the role that juries play in society. In this way, New York still inspires, even if it's pizza. The second best, Theodore Johnson. Those are bold words to conclude with, sir, at the Washington Post. And if you got some Laffy Taffy, you want some of that, you come get a hold of Dominic, 844-967-2789.
Well, they didn't call me Stumpy for nothing, Dom. You know, four fingers. Because I was
four
telling you the
Rudy.
best quality illegal fireworks for sale at the campground, Tom?
Well, I got to ask you, though, man. I mean, I went to the retail shop, man. So I didn't buy wholesale, so I had to go and pay off the counter price, man. So I didn't get as much of a margin, perhaps, as you. But where did you acquire such, I don't know, inventory, Michael?
One needs to have black market sources, Tom. I cannot divulge, but let's just say, you know, when someone's driving down to the state line, you go pick up some firecrackers with them, and you drive back to the campground, and you make out like a bandit. That's what I'm saying. Scofflaw for life. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. We want to hear from you. 844-967-2789. It's a phone line. It's a text line. Love to hear from you on it. Dial now. It's getting kind of windy outside. I'm getting nervous, Tom. I might blow away.
I doubt it. You'll be fine.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open, talk or text. Join us at 844-967-2789. Got lots of dropping news to get to. A New York Times, I'm going to get to this perhaps in the next hour. GOP push for post-verdict payback. Fight fire with fire. Man, the Republicans are saying all sorts of crazy things in the wake of their orange god being a convicted felon. But before we leave the backyard, I think we got to throw this one out there. Donald Trump Jr., he was in the Wisco, and he blasted congressional candidate Andre Jacques over his IVF stance. Lawrence Andrew reporting at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Former President Trump's eldest son this week. Now, I would also, Don Jr., I think I saw a headline stating, who was it? Steve Bannon thinks Don Jr. should be like attorney general or something like that. Anyway, I digress. These guys, they're getting crazier as they're getting more and more cornered. But here's what the Journal Sentinel said. Eldest son this week attacks a Wisconsin Republican House candidate for opposing in vitro fertilization, injecting an issue that has divided Republicans into the primary race for a northeastern Wisconsin congressional district. During a campaign rally
What's Jock's opposition? It's not God's will.
I guess.
Is just opposed to science. The guy almost died of COVID. He still hasn't changed his attitude about getting vaccinated, although his wife has begged people to do so. But please continue.
During a campaign rally for Trump endorsed a businessman, Tony Weed, in De Pere, Wisconsin, on Tuesday. Donald Trump Jr. accused State Senator Andre Jacques of being against the fertilization treatment. He suggested running against a Republican who opposed IVF would be a dream for Democrats. Yeah, we know one Democrat that would love to do that. Andre Jacques says, "We don't want to have IVF treatments for families," Donald Trump Jr. told a local TV station. "We're pro-family. We want people to be able to have families. You can't have a Republican running. That's a Democrat dream." His comments came months after the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that frozen embryos can be considered children, a move that could limit access to IVF. Now, I've said it before, and this has been all over, but there's one way you can tell that IVF are not children, because you can freeze IVF and the embryos, and they won't die. But sure, they're children. The reporting goes on. Many Republicans, including the former president, distanced themselves from the decision and voiced support for the treatment as Democrats sought to tie the ruling to the U.S. Supreme Court 22 ruling overruling of the landmark abortion rights case Roe v. Wade. Remarks also marked an interesting dynamic. A Republican attacking a fellow Republican over reproductive access. Democrats in Wisconsin have successfully campaigned on reproductive rights and abortion access, while Republicans have struggled to unify on the issue. Jacques' campaign Wednesday did not answer a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel question about whether Jacques supports IVF, but Jacques' campaign manager said the De Pere Republican has never introduced legislation that would affect IVF, and reportedly labeled weed a paper tiger, a term referring to something that appears threatening but is not a quote from the campaign. It is unfortunate that Tony, the paper tiger weeds campaign, has started to lie about Andre's record to cover for the fact that he didn't vote for President Trump in 2020, says Will Terry, Jacques' campaign manager. While Andre has been in the fight for the MAGA movement, Tony, the paper tiger, has been nowhere to be found. Trump Jr. was referring to Jacques' past support for adding a so-called personhood amendment to the state constitution, a source close to the Trump family told the Journal Sentinel this week. The amendment held that the right to life applies to all humans at any stage of development, including before they are born. Proponents of IVF have argued the measures could hinder the procedure. Such legislation, they've argued, could complicate various aspects of the treatment, including the removal of ineffective embryos and what to do with those that go unused. A number of clinics in Alabama paused IVF treatments after state Supreme Court ruling. We know this. Still, Jacques' campaign Wednesday says Jacques proposed an amendment that was expressly introduced for the purpose of protecting Wisconsin's existing pro-life laws and would not have made any changes to IVF or any other Wisconsin statute. Jacques, for his part, has sought to cast himself as the most conservative Republican in the three-way primary for the 8th Congressional District, which includes former state Senator Roger Roth. Jacques has repeatedly pointed to his opposition to abortion at any stage as evidence of his conservatism, and he was endorsed last week by Pro-Life Wisconsin, a group that opposes IVF. Now, we had a political newcomer endorsed by Trump before he formally announced his campaign, said that he was pro-family. All these Republicans are so pro-family. I'm pro-family. That means protecting access to IVF. In order to have a strong America, we need strong families. There's more at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, but you get the gist. And as mentioned, next week, my understanding, according to the reporting we read earlier, Chuck Schumer is going to introduce to the Senate legislation to protect access to and the rights to get IVF. And according to the reporting, perhaps that will be shot down by Republicans. So we have, I don't know, a Republican Party in, what's that term? Disarray!
Dominic, I've been monitoring the text line. Texter on the WMDX says, Tony, weed? Weed? Be a lot cooler if you did. I prefer the Democratic candidate in the 8th Congressional District, Dom. I find Dr. Kristen Lierley, an OBGYN, quite a bit more appealing than the pro-family party choices. And normally when I hear Republican and I hear them claim to be the pro-family, that usually means they have a second family, if you know what I'm saying.
Right. Kristen Lierley, Dr. Lierley, said that the Republicans in the race using IVF as a political football to be tossed around when it suits their radical agenda. For my patients, on the other hand, it's an essential pathway for growing a family. This is yet another example of political interference in our most personal healthcare decisions that neither I nor the people of Northern Wisconsin will stand for. Yeah, check her out, Dr. Kristen Lierley. Check us out, the Happier Happy Hour, coming up. Going to get to your phone calls as well. 844-967-2789.